thank you for we're praying together. Continue to pray for the leadership. Our sermon text is Job 29, 30, and 31. Not going to read all three chapters. It's a lot. So we're not going to do that this morning. We're going to just look at the latter part of chapter 31. This is Job's final speech. So, and these are Job's literally final words that he speaks in the book of Job. So we'll start with verse 29, and I will read to the end till verse 40. This is Job 31, 29 and following. If I have rejoiced at the ruin of him who hated me, or exalted when evil overtook him, I have not let my mouth sin by asking for his life with a curse. If the men of my tent have not said, who is there that has not been filled with his meat? The sojourner has not lodged in the street, or I have opened my doors to the traveler. If I have concealed my transgressions as others do, by hiding my iniquities in my bosom, because I stood in great fear of the multitude and contempt of families terrify me, so that I kept silent and did not go out of doors. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here is my signature. Let the Almighty answer me. Oh, that I have the indictment written by my adversary. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder. I would bind it on me as a crown. I would give him an account of all my steps. Like a prince, I would approach him. If my land has cried out against me and its furrows have wept together, if I have eaten its yield without payment and made its owners breathe their last, let thorns grow instead of wheat and foul weeds instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. Thus far, God's word. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look at these final words of Job, as we look at what he meditates on, as he has spoken many times in this book, these are his final words, where he has spoken to his friends, spoken to you, so we may understand them in their context as he speaks. We may benefit from his reflections and find help in this present day and age for your glory and again for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The It's been making the it's been circulating on social media for some time. I've seen it several times. Folks have been posting how, particularly pastors, have been circulating how their preaching is like the COVID-19 virus. I find it very humorous, and I've kind of modified it a little bit for my own circumstances. But I'll offer you the top five ways where my preaching is like the COVID virus. Number five, once it gets started, everyone has to go to the bathroom. Number four, people wanted to hurry up and end so they could be the first to get back to going to restaurants. Number three, it makes it easier to stay at home. And I love particularly two and number one. Number two, people constantly are asking, is it over yet? And number one, the way my preaching is like the current pandemic and crisis, it just keeps getting worse. Now, little humor in regards to my preaching and abilities, but I also suspect, whether it's my preaching or not, you probably are feeling the same way about the book of Job. As we keep going farther and farther in the book of Job, maybe for you, it has felt like it keeps getting worse, and you're starting to ask the question, is it over yet? And so when you read a sermon title like this, Job Falls Silent, maybe there's a part of you that's going, finally, great, wonderful, we're finally going to get some relief. I'm so sick of hearing Job and his complaints and his friends and their whining and arguments. I mean, and it's understandable. Because it's been going on for some time. It's been going on for weeks, if not what it feels like, months. But I have found, even though we've gone chapter after chapter and speech after speech, that along the way we've come across some real real nuggets. I mean, amidst the, you know, the insults and the arguments, there have been some real moments, for me at least, where it's felt like the TV show American Pickers. I don't know how many of you watched that on the History Channel. These two Midwestern folks who routinely travel and pick out what they call rusty gold. And usually in a pile of junk, they'll find that, you know, one or two thing that is, you know, really, you know, a rare gem. It's not a perfect comparison, but I see a lot of similarities like that. Amongst all these insults and speeches and the back and forth between Job's friends, we've also come across some wonderful little nuggets. Job 1:21, for example, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I love this in Job 6:15 as he describes his friends. "My brothers are treacherous as a torrent bed, as torrent streams that pass away." Or this revelation by him in Job 9, where he says, "There is no arbiter between us who may lay his hands on us both." Job 14:14, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" Job's asking this question. "All the days of my service, I would wait till my renewal should come." Job 19:25, we just recently came across this, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth." Certainly a foreshadowing, looking forward to Christ. And then just last week, Job 28:28, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Turn away from evil and its understanding." So I don't know about you. I mean, maybe it's easy to complain about what we've, you know, had to go and endure, but along the way we've come across these things. And this morning we don't have a nugget like that per se, but his final speech, there is really some wisdom there and reflection of where Job has started in his writings, started in his circumstances. So let me just lay it out to you very simple. And we're going to go a little faster through these chapters than normal. And hold on here. I'm going to change something. A little trouble here. Okay. Job 29, Job 30, and 31 are laid out in a very simple way. Job 29 is all about Job's past. Job 30 is all about Job's present circumstances. And then Job 31 is about, it's a statement of faith, but it's about what he's promising for the future. Many commentaries have said, you can clearly see Job's thoughts in the end, his very final speech. He's thinking back, he's thinking about his present circumstances, and then he's thinking to the future. So let me just walk you through this. Okay, we're not gonna read, of course, all the verses in these chapters. But Job 29, it does really kind of read, if you read it, like Job is reliving the good old days, you know, what things used to be like, how wonderful life used to be. Let me just read to you this beginning of chapter 29. "And Job again took up his discourse and said, Oh, that I were in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head and his lights, and I walked, and by his light I walked through the darkness. As I was in my prime, when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, and my children were all around me." So the rest of the chapter, chapter 29, is a glowing rendition of both his life and the achievements and things which he did while he was, you know, doing well, was blessed. And it sounds a little bit, when you read, a little self-promoting, but I don't think there's anything inaccurate. I don't think he's embellishing. I don't think he's reliving the good old days and kind of, you know, recreating a different past. It just shows how he feels about his circumstances. And it's interesting, he, in reference, the one of the things he seems to value the most from his past is how God was present in his life. He talks about in the past how God watched over him, how he felt protected by the Almighty, that how the Almighty was like a lamp, his light, guiding him in the darkness, felt that God was right there beside me. And he reflects on his youth and how life was better and all that. And I can understand it. I can understand maybe in this point, in this circumstances where he's at, that he's thinking about his past. It makes sense. So chapter 29 is about his past, about looking, and it looks like a litany of blessing. You know, I was blessed in my past. But then as Job 30 starts, you can tell this, you can see the switch. It starts really right at the beginning, Job 30, verse 1. Now they laugh at me, men who are younger than I. So after a trip down memory lane, Job is snapped back into reality. Chapter 29, he talked about how young men would, if Job was coming down the road and they saw Job, they would part, you know, get off the road and let him pass by. They would honor him. But now what does he say at the beginning of verse chapter 30? They laugh at him. And this is sort of a theme also of chapter 30, as he talks about his present circumstances, verse 9 in chapter 30. Now I've become their song. I'm a byword to them. They abhor me. They keep aloof from me. They do not hesitate to spit at the sight of me. Because God has loosened my cord and humbled me, they have cast off restraint in my presence. So Job is basically saying, in this present circumstances, I'm disrespected. In 29, I was respected. But in my present circumstances, I'm being completely disrespected. But he also recognizes that he's been humbled by God. And I think Job has gained some perspective, which I think is good. Job's trip down memory lane was fine. He's reflecting about how important he was, how people respected and honor him. But he recognizes that in his present circumstances, he's been humbled. And I think that's growth. I think that's good. Job sees that his circumstances, his present circumstances, are actually a help. But unfortunately, Job returns back to the same theme of his desires in chapter 30 about how he feels like, you know, he awaits death. In chapter 29, he talked about how he felt protected. God was there, was his light, his shield. But in chapter 30, he talks about the fact that he feels now that death is just, you know, very, very close. Verse 19, God has cast me into the mire and I have become like dust and ashes. I cry to you for help and you do not answer me. I stand and you only look at me. You've turned cruel to me. And with the might of your hand, you persecute me. If you lift me up on the wind, you make me ride on it. You toss me about in the roar of the storm. For I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. I mean, the imagery Job is giving is that in his present circumstances, he feels unprotected. He feels vulnerable. He feels isolated. He feels alone. In the past, he felt like he had shelter and God's protection and provision. And now he feels just that God has been cruel to him. Once his friend, once the one who protected him, he feels abandoned. That's how he feels. I'm not saying he's right. But his past was great, but his present is the complete opposite. It's terrible. He's saying, I can't stand it. I'm having moments where death just feels like it's a whisker away. So where does that leave Job? If Job is looking back at his past in 29 and Job 30, he's snapped back into the present, his reality, his suffering that he's endured. Where does he go in in chapter 31? And this is the key. I think this is a key to his final speech. Job decides to make a covenant with God. He uses literally that language in chapter 31. Now, to clarify, there's a difference between the divine covenants of the Old Testament, like the Abrahamic covenant or the covenant made with David. Those are covenants God made with his people. We do have examples in the Old Testament where people make covenants themselves. And so Job here is not bargaining with God. Some have tried to argue that. I think what Job is declaring is that after looking at his past, thinking about his present sufferings, he's saying, this is where I stand. This is a declaration. This is a statement of faith. Just listen to how he says, starts verse chapter 31. I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? What would be my portion from God above and my heritage from Almighty on high? Is not calamity for the unrighteous and disaster for the works of iniquity? Does not he see my ways and number all my steps? Job here is starting with, he's saying, I'm going to make a promise. I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to start by making a covenant with what I look at. And he begins this, and he recognizes the reason he's doing this is because God sees and knows all, is aware of his steps, his moves. And so the rest of the chapter is dedicated to how Job is going to covenant with God and hold to his integrity, hold to his faith. I'm not going to read all of it, but let me just read. There's this constant language throughout chapter 31. He'll say something like this: if I've walked with falsehood and my foot has hastened to deceit, if I have rejected the cause of my manservant or maidservant when they brought a complaint against me, if I have withheld anything that the poor desire or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, verse 21, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless because I saw my help in the gate. Verse 24, if I have made gold my trust or made fine gold my confidence. And so then Job goes into detail how his goal is to maintain his integrity. And he ends with, again, covenantal language here. He says, verse 35, oh, that I had one to hear me. Here is my signature. Let the Almighty answer me. Oh, that I had the indictment written by my adversary. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder. I would bind it on me as a crown. I would give him an account of all my steps. Like a prince, I would approach him. If my land has cried out against me and its furrows have wept together, if I have eaten its yield without payment and made its owners breathe its last, let thorns grow up instead of wheat and foul weeds instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. What Job is presenting us here in chapter 31 is he's saying he's going to make a covenant with God, and he goes through a litany of if I've done this, if I didn't. He's saying I am not going to do that if I've done these things. And then he says, then I wish I could sign it and hand it over to you, come into your presence respectfully like a prince, come and hear this. And then he makes one more say, look, if the land cries out. One more sort of promise to that. He brings this respectfully to the Lord, and then it finally just simply says, the words of Job are ended. He has nothing more to say. We're not going to hear any more speeches from Job. That's it. We're going to see Job again, but that's it. He's done. He's made a covenant. He's made these declarations. He has signed it. He wants to present it to the Lord. He's done. So let's talk about this. Let's make this personal this morning. This isn't just academic exercises, certainly. And, you know, there's much made about the past, present, future language, you know, in Job 29, 30, and 31, about how he kind of looks at the past and kind of lives the good old days. But as I meditated on this passage, I started going in a different direction. And I was getting a little nervous. And so I started opening up my commentaries and, you know, what do other scholars say, and found that no one else was saying what I was thinking. And that's never a good thing, kind of going out on a limb, being out on my own on this. But as I kept meditating on, you know, Job 29, 30, 31, I really felt like, now this is what's going on. I think this is what Job is trying to, what he's doing here. So if I'm wrong, we get to heaven. And Job is, you know, we get a chance to meet Job, and Job tells us, no, this is what I was saying in my final speech. And it's different than what I said, then, you know, I'll own it, okay? But I'm going to go out on a limb here this morning, okay? I think Job 29, 30, and 31 as a reaffirmation of what Job has already stated earlier. And when I mean earlier, I mean all the way back to the calamities. Let me explain. Let me just kind of tease this out. We're going to get somewhere with this, okay? When he was first attacked in his first calamity, when Satan first attacked him, when he lost everything, his children, his wealth, his response was, and I read it not too long ago, Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground, and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. So what Job said in that, after that first calamity, was, I was blessed for a time. I was blessed. The Lord gave. I am now suffering. The Lord has taken it away. And thirdly, my faith in God is intact. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Okay, so three things. He said three things when he was after the first calamity. I was blessed. I'm suffering. But my faith in God is intact. Second attack, the second calamity, whenever his health was attacked by Satan. His wife says to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women who speak. Shall we receive good from God? Shall we not receive evil? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. Again, he repeats the same kind of pattern. He says here, shall we receive good from God? I was blessed for a time. He's acknowledging, I was blessed. And then he says, I am suffering now. Shall we not receive evil? So his present circumstances. And then thirdly, he affirms his faith is intact by saying, by not cursing like his wife is asking him to. And it's affirmed in that in Job 2, he did not sin with his lips. So I hope you see this pattern here. Twice after the calamities, Job says, God has blessed me for a time. I'm suffering now, but my faith in him is intact. Okay? Folks, that's the exact same pattern we're seeing here in Job 29, 30, and 31. I think Job 29, 30, 31 is an expansion of what we've already seen when Job at the very beginning. In other words, Job has returned back to what he's affirmed after all these speeches, all these arguments, all this back and forth with his friends. Job is going back to where he started. Job 29 is, I was blessed for a time. I recognize that. I was blessed. Job 30 is, I'm suffering now in my present circumstances. And Job 31 is a reaffirmation. He is holding to his integrity. His faith is intact. As I've said, I don't think that covenant language is a bargaining tactic. I think it's a statement of faith. It's a declaration. Just like when he said in Job 1, blessed be the name of the Lord, he was still following. Whenever his wife said, once you curse God and die, his integrity remained intact. Chapter 31 is a commitment to say, my integrity is intact. My faith in God is intact. Job ends his speeches exactly where he began. He recognizes that for a time, God blessed him, but he's suffering now. He will continue to remain faithful to God in his present circumstances. Job is still in essence, I think the way this ends, I think the Job's speech ends, is where he began. He is still a committed follower of God, no matter if he's received blessing or in his present suffering. So let's make this personal. Because this wasn't an academic exercise for Job. It was personal for him. It wasn't a lecture. It wasn't a discussion. I mean, amongst all the speeches, it starts to feel a little bit academic-wise. But this wasn't academic for Job. It was something he went through. Job went through this, experienced. He was blessed for a time. He's suffering in his present circumstances. But his faith in God remains unshaken. It's remarkable. It's commended. And yet, we've talked about this before. I sometimes find Job's faith is difficult to find in our present day and age. Let me make this personal. Let me explain how I'll make this personal and use an illustration or a comparison to get my point across. I think 2020 is going to be an interesting year for many reasons. And I think in New England, it's going to be a very interesting year, but maybe not in where you think I'm going. It's going to be an interesting year because for the first time in a long time, Tom Brady is not the quarterback of the New England Patriots. It is going to be a end of an era, as it is word. Now, do I think that Bill Belichick as a coach has some more tricks up his sleeve? I do. I mean, he's just such a phenomenal coach. It'll be interesting to see what the New England season will look like for the Patriots. But what's going to be fascinating, I think, in 2020 is to see the fact that now that Tom Brady is no longer the quarterback, what will the fans in New England be like in 2020? Will there be those who are going to continue to remain faithful to their beloved Patriots, or are we going to discover that there's been many folks who have been fair weather fans, meaning as long as the Patriots were winning championships and Tom Brady was the quarterback, they were going to be fans of the New England Patriots. Now, no one would accuse me of being a fair weather fan when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've lived here for 15 years. Do you know how many times the Steelers have beat the Patriots in 15 years since I've been here? I can do it on one hand. Four times. Four times in 15 years. Our team has been abysmal against the Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But through that entire time, 15 years, I have remained a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. That's never going to change. Even though I've been living in New England for most of my adult life. The fact is, when it comes to fans of sports, we know there is a difference between fair weather fans, right, and those who are committed fans, right, who own a terrible towel and have that declaration, that example that says, this proves I'm not a fair weather fan. Okay, I got my terrible towel. Now, what is disturbing for me, not we'll leave the illustration lie here, is the fact that when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ, how many times I see that followers of Christ look more like fair weather followers or fair weather Christians, not so much of the faith that Job has or is demonstrating in chapter 31. Job is giving us an example of what a follower of God looks like. One who sees the blessings from God, the one who endures and goes through sufferings, but in both of those circumstances affirms their faith. And it's a question that we probably all need to wrestle with or examine in our own life. Job clearly is a follower of God. We know that. We'll see that as we get to the end of the book. We'll see that very clear, whether good or bad. But the question I have for you this morning is very simple. What would be said of you if you were in Job's circumstances? Does your faith look more like a fair weather Christian or a committed follower of God in good and bad times? I'd encourage us that while we are in isolation, while we're enduring this pandemic and these circumstances, many of us maybe have more time than we usually have in reflection, maybe in reading, maybe in streaming movies and TV shows and things. But maybe, just maybe, use the opportunity to do some reflection, to examine your life, your faith journey. Take a moment or an opportunity to ask some questions that are what I would call soul searching. You know, I think there's a real benefit for Christians to take time to time, not always, but to do some soul searching, to do some reflection, to spend some time alone with Christ in prayer and meditation, or maybe with someone that they trust, like a spouse or a good friend, and ask yourself some questions. Am I a fair weather Christian? Do I love God when the things are good, but whenever things turn bad, my faith really turns to other things or circumstances? So I want to encourage you. I want to make this personal. Maybe over the next week or so, or when you find time, take some time to do some reflection questions. Ask yourself some questions. Yeah, I'll give you some suggestions. They're in your outline on your bulletin. What, if anything, changes in your spiritual disciplines? Spiritual disciplines, I mean by that prayer, worship, meditation on the word. When things are good or things are bad, does things change? Or is there consistency in your faith? When struggles or difficulties come, what do you run to? What's your instinct? And does your faith play a role in that? Does your faith help? Are you able, truly, to praise God in all circumstances? Is your faith in Him unshaken when the difficulties arise? Do people see Jesus in your words and actions no matter whether you're having a good day or a bad day, the people still see Jesus in your words and actions. And lastly, and maybe most importantly, if all that you had was Jesus, would that be enough? Reflection can be difficult. Those are not easy questions to answer. But I also believe it's beneficial. Job's life, you see, is a life of examination. He has had to take a hard, hard look at both his past and his present. But what he decided to do after looking at his past and his present is he decided to reaffirm his faith, to make a covenant, to make a promise, to say, I'm going to continue to be a faithful follower of you. Here's my signature. I'll hand it to you. I'd love to hand it to you, Lord, and show you I am going to be a faithful follower. So I would encourage you, a life of examination, of self-examination, would be beneficial. Like I said, do it alone with Jesus, or do it with a friend you trust or a spouse that you trust. But make that time. And maybe ask simply this question. If what happened to Job happened to me, could I write Job 31? My prayer is that you could. So let me do that, and let me pray for us as a congregation that we may seek God together in all matters. We recognize how he's blessed us, Job 29, how maybe we suffer in our present circumstances, Job 30, but that we would reaffirm our faith in God in this present suffering. Let's pray together. Lord, we look at Job, and it's easy after all of these speeches just to maybe be tired of all of this, of what we've heard, but not really consider how personal this was for Job in this entire story. This wasn't academic. This wasn't him chatting with three friends and talking about theology like in an academic setting or a Bible study. This was in a very present circumstance that he found himself in. And after all of that, after looking at his past, his present sufferings, Job takes the time in chapter 31 to write a statement of faith, to say, I am going to continue to live this way. This is how I'm going to live. Here's my signature. I'd love to present it to you and show it to you, Lord. What I wonder for us in our own faith, would our faith look more like a fair weather follower of Christ? Or is it one that's been tested, one that has looked at the blessings that you've given us? Is suffering maybe at times due in our suffering, whether now or maybe in another time, have we remained committed, a follower of you, that we turn to you? Lord, I thank you that we look at this life of examination of Job. May we do the same ourselves. May we also not necessarily make empty promises, but indeed make a statement of faith, a promise to be a follower of you all of our days. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response should be coming up on our screen here. Dear refuge of my weary soul.